All right, in today's solo episode, I'll talk about the difference between life coaching, therapy, and why we should level up in both areas. A lot of these episodes recently have been coming from people asking questions, so feel free to share your own questions in the comments, DM me, email me, and we'll tackle the things that you're wondering. Also, I really want to help you get clarity on how to create content, build a business if you'd like to, but most importantly, design the life of your dreams without burning out. And one of my favorite ways to do this recently is through the newsletter. So be sure, if you haven't already, to sign up to the Just Keep Learning newsletter. Now, specifically today, I posted to Medium recently with the title, How Therapy and a Millionaire Friend Made Me Start Coaching Again. And I know that that's a little bit of a clickbaity title, The Millionaire Friend, why I'm coaching again, and the fact that I'm going to therapy. But I feel like the way that I break this down in this episode can really help you when it comes to figuring out what the difference is between coaching, therapy, and what that could mean for you as someone who doesn't know what to tap into. So I personally recently started therapy again, and it's been incredible. I feel like I could write a book about my experience in therapy alone or start an entire podcast, but one specific moment sticks out that I wanted to talk about today. And it's actually really connected to my life as a creator, podcaster, entrepreneur, and I'm sure that a lot of you will be able to relate. And it's a conversation that I had about therapy itself and how therapy compares to coaching, teaching, parenting, really helping somebody else learn by guiding them through a process. And my therapist specifically has been helping me because I have so much experience already with psychology. I've been on the receiving end of a lot of therapy. I've worked with a lot of other therapists. I've read a ton of books on the concept. And because of my experience, it was decided that we would actually look at the underlying mechanics, the foundation to the therapy itself, as opposed to just sitting on the couch experiencing the therapy. And so we've talked a lot about the actual philosophy and the decisions that go into how we help people who are struggling with their mental health. And so it's been a bit meta, but I have to say it's been a really, really cool process that I'm really grateful for. And so one of these connections was the goal that I have to be an online creator to help you live your best life. I do that through those three mediums, and currently that is my therapist's goal as well. Help me live my best life. But a lot of times when we're in these leadership roles trying to help other people, we struggle to achieve that goal. When I first found podcasting, I knew that it was a creative medium that would help. I've always known that writing helps me a lot, but I really struggled to connect in a more direct way. And so naturally, the idea of coaching people came to mind. I saw the success that many fellow creators had when it came to coaching people, and I figured that I could do it too. Now, early on, I was a really successful coach. When I first started coaching, that's all I was doing, and it was really easy for people to say, yep, here's $5,000, here's $7,000, here's $3,000 for different coaching packages that were designed in a way to help them. And it was probably en route to becoming a million-dollar business in the first thing that I tried as a creator had I stuck with it. But I stopped taking on clients. And it's not because I wasn't confident as a coach. I'm super confident that if I were to coach Conor McGregor right now, he could make a comeback from his fall from grace if he wanted to. I could coach Tom Kim and he would probably win more golf tournaments, or even someone who's as massive a superstar as Taylor Swift, I could probably help her even improve in her career if we were to work together. I'm really confident in my ability to help people with their goals, no matter what level they're at. If I coached you, I'm sure you would be better off indeed. And I think it's important to share that at the risk of sounding overconfident or cocky, but because that is, if I picked one skill that I'm good at, out of everything on the planet, coaching is that skill. But I wanted to clarify that I didn't stop because I wasn't good at it. I stopped because of how this connects to the topic of therapy and mental health. So I quit pretty much cold turkey. I stopped taking on clients, and it was really for two reasons. One's a little bit silly, and the other is a bit more serious. So why did I stop coaching? When I first started creating online, I met an incredible mentor, Stefan Lovegrove, aka America's Life Coach. He is an incredibly successful coach, but more importantly, an awesome friend, and I've learned a lot from him, some of which you could definitely hear on interview 42 if you check it out. But one of the most valuable lessons that he shared was from the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And this is one of the reasons why I believe I stopped coaching. We all have a ULP, or as Gay calls it, an upper limit problem. The idea is that we have a set level of happiness, success, and love that we believe we deserve. It's kind of like a governor on a car or a golf cart, a go-kart that makes you only go a certain speed. But if you take that off, you can go much faster. And when we surpass that level, we subconsciously sabotage ourselves and return to our comfort zone. Therefore, recognizing and overcoming our upper limit problem, our ULP, is crucial to achieving our full potential. Essentially, if I were to have you picture a diagram in your mind, you have your safety zone and your comfort zone, and we always need to be safe, but we want to expand what that looks like so that we can have a much wider zone where we feel safe without being in the comfort zone, where we feel safe being in a zone of discomfort. So if we want lasting success and satisfaction in life, we need to continue to expand that beyond our comfort zone. Now, I was really good at this for a long time, but our comfort zone is domain specific. And what I mean by that is that I really grew as a writer, and I continue to. I feel like publishing a book would be no problem right now. The podcasting was challenging. The more experience I have, the more I can create solo episodes, the better I'm getting as an interviewer. And really anything that I want to learn now feels a little bit easier because of how much I leaned into those two mediums. So I feel like I could go try and learn guitar or singing, poetry, and I don't really care putting myself out there. But as I reflect on my career as a coach, I can see very clearly that I hit an upper limit problem. And part of that was the silly reason that I stopped coaching. I told myself that if I wanted to build a life of freedom, then it needed to be more automated. So I spent way too much time on email, SEO, courses, content, creating this concept that if you build it, they will come in terms of clients, customers, consumers, a community, just thinking that you can create this stuff and then it will run on its own. Now, part of that's true later down the line in business, but the other reason why I stopped coaching was a little more serious. And in all honesty, it was because I was confused about the fact that coaching can quickly get tied in with the medical field, where I personally am not the expert. Not surprisingly, I was getting a lot of hate online about the idea of life coaching in general. And I didn't give into that hate. I think that's the last thing we want to do. I didn't really debate or argue it either. To be honest, I knew that it was just noise, but there was some truth, not to what the haters were saying, but to what some of my personal reflections were about. Similar to how I feel education should be free, yet I understand why it makes sense sometimes to share a specific course, a workshop, a mastermind, a group coaching thing where we charge for it. Well, in this case, it was the idea that if I have the goal of improving your mental health through life coaching, and my therapist or a psychiatrist has the goal of improving your life through therapy, how do we not get too blurred in what is or is not allowed or what people need? And even though I have a background in psychology, a ton of experience, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, not even a naturopath, yet my goal is truly to help improve your mental health. So you can see how this gets a little bit confusing, or as my daughter says recently, confuzzled. Combine this with all that hate, and it was a super spreader of a subconscious virus that made me really slowly, I just stopped taking on new clients. Because it was also combined with this idea that I can automate my podcast and my business and not have to actually work with people one-on-one. My fear was that maybe people need more specific medical interventions. And so I decided that I would just step out of that one-to-one concept altogether. But like I said at the top, starting therapy again helped me see this a little bit differently, as funny as that is. So why am I coaching again? Now, my therapist knows that I have a well-rounded background in psych, cognitive therapy, and I guess life in general. So like I shared earlier, they're taking the approach of demonstrating the inner workings of their model with me as well. And instead of directly saying like, here's my struggle, what should I do? I'm learning about the underlying reasons, the strategies through which they operate. It is super cool, and most importantly, helps my mind heal in the process. And so we got on the topic one day about tolerance, the idea that the ability to tolerate something or not tolerate something, whether conscious or not, is perhaps one of the most important factors in determining how we feel. For example, if you can't tolerate the sight of blood, you might feel nervous or faint when you get a single needle prick, but others can work in a blood donor clinic, they could be on the front lines of an emergency room, and they can tolerate a ton of blood. As we discussed the topic, I realized that there's a big connection to the coaching I do. I shared that a client's ability to tolerate the first stages of a new goal is very similar. It could be trying to win a golf tournament, starting an exercise routine, creating online, becoming a parent, having difficult conversations at work, finding a life partner, or any of the many things that come up in coaching. But in the cognitive behavioral therapy practice, they don't really dive into situations like those. They would really be pretty much off topic. So I shared the fact that I miss coaching brand new clients, and we talked about that explicitly. To summarize, what I do and what my therapist does is really different. And so what is the difference between a coach and a therapist? As we got talking, I really better understood that coaching and therapy are both transformative, but in different ways. Coaching focuses on crafting and realizing a vision, a plan for your future goals, using specific tasks between sessions, while therapy tends to focus on insights into past experiences or struggles to better manage your feelings and your emotions. I'll give you a quick example. I could not imagine going into my therapist's office and saying something like, hey, I'm really struggling to get more downloads on my podcast, what should I do? Or my email open rates are down to 20% and there's more people unsubscribing than ever before. Does this matter for my business? Or I'm just running out of ideas for content and I'm scared that it's going to slow down my revenue this next quarter. Do you think I'm wrong? All these things I could happily share with my coach, not my therapist. And on the flip side, I could not imagine going to my coach and saying something like, why do I constantly feel like I'm going to die? Or I know there's no finish line to parenting. I'll be parenting for the rest of my life, but I just feel like I need to survive long enough to get my kiddos through high school or college. Is that crazy? Something like that. Or what about no matter what, I wake up every night, once or twice, sweating in a state of panic, and how can I stop this if I'm not awake? All of those things I could easily share with my therapist, and it would make sense. But for me to bring those to my coach would, again, just be super off topic. So I hope you can see that there's a pretty big difference. However, there is some overlap between coaching and therapy. And that's just because it's hard to split our mind, body, spirit into these like three specific compartments. There's always going to be some gray area. And this is why I would love to see everybody tap into both, or many for that reason. You could have a therapist, a life coach, a business coach, a fitness coach. Similar to the medical field, personally, I enlist the help of an MD, a traditionally trained general practicing doctor, but I also have a naturopath that helps me check on my overall preventative health, things that would never happen at my doctor's office. And together, they make the perfect team. In fact, a pretty serious condition was discovered this year only because of my naturopath. But then it was my actual doctor who had to follow up and make sure that I was given the right treatments to make sure that it wouldn't be a huge problem. And so I see coaches and therapists the same way. Coaches do not diagnose or treat mental health conditions, but we can be highly skilled in our specific domains, focusing on development that is outside of the realm of clinical intervention. And actually, funny side note, my therapist is one of the best mental health doctors in the world, yet doesn't diagnose much either. That's another story on labels for another day. But in my day-to-day work, I work with a ton of therapists. We work very collaboratively to support clients. Depending on what the topic is, we go to each other for help. Now, the headline to this had a millionaire friend helped me start coaching again. And so I just want to talk a little bit about the universe having my back. When I jumped on a call last week with a mentor I've looked up to for many years, Jamie Masters, the founder of Eventual Millionaire, she's an incredible business person and also a great coach. One of those leaders that can really help you see around corners that you don't even know exist. It wasn't a planned call. It wasn't really something that I had expected to happen. But all of a sudden, the universe, manifestation, stars, whatever it is you believe in, they aligned. And we were chatting about the progress that I've made with the podcast, business challenges I have, successes, and where I could go next. And that's when she said something really powerful. Jamie said that if I were to get back to coaching one-on-one, that I would achieve all of my own big dreams. She said that my ability to impact people is way too contextual to their individual needs, and that I could easily spin up a program that helps people start a podcast, learn to lift weights, or write their business bio, but that I would be selling myself short. That the best coaches can teach across domains, get creative, and not have an exact plan until they work with someone. And not that I go around looking for validation, but this was life-changing for me. I've always felt like I have the most impact when I'm working directly with you, one-to-one. And you could be an astronaut, a stay-at-home mom, a golfer, painter, stay-at-home dad, podcaster, or in line to be the next president of your country. And the process is the same. One-to-one, figure out your big dream, identify what's getting in the way, and help you figure out your plan. So having Jamie remind me that even she, who could completely automate her business, and it actually reminded me of Stefan Lovegrove, who could certainly automate his business, they both still coach one-to-one because it's such an important part of who they are. And that's why I've given myself permission to coach for the rest of my life. Regardless of how quote-unquote successful I am, even if I have a course purchased by 500,000 people or sell a book to 3 million people, I will always still make time for some one-to-one clients. Now, I wanted to touch just a little bit on what it is like to work with a life coach because I think that this could be new for a lot of people. I love coaching personally because it has huge overlaps with sport, athletics. Every time that I coached in a sports team, our teams made exponential gains compared to other teams. You start where you are, you don't get to control that, but your ability to be overachievers, to succeed beyond expectations, is what great coaching is all about. In sports, we help athletes and teams identify goals, co-create a plan, and hold each other accountable. Coaching in life, business, fitness, parenting, it's no different. I focus on what's happening right now, what you desire, why you desire it, which is something that a lot of people forget, and just make sure that you really want it while we work together to then bridge the gap to get there. A life coach will assist you in identifying obstacles, pinpoint resistance, and help you figure out what shifts to make on your journey to success. A life coach will help you expand your dream and ideas while exploring your mindset, understanding your beliefs, views, and options that you have that will then show up in your results. A common misconception is that a coach will just tell you what to do. And a beginner one probably will. They'll try and give you a blueprint that works to achieve a similar goal, but it rarely works. And that's because we as humans are unique. We all have different upper limiting problems, and we all have unique solutions to those as well. So you will always have to be the person doing the heavy lifting. When talking about this topic, it reminds me a lot of Al Pacino's famous speech in the movie Any Given Sunday, the most specific of lines, "Now I can't do it for you, I'm too old." We may not necessarily be old. A lot of people that I've coached are older than me in terms of chronological age, but a good life coach will use wisdom and intuition to guide you in connecting with your own inner wisdom and intuition. We cannot do it for you. And my coaches cannot do it for me. The best life coaches take an unbiased, powerful approach that will empower you to be the best version of you. Your current position, decisions you make, aspirations, actions that you take, and the next steps that you identify from your own improved and realigned mindset. Nothing in your life will change for the better unless you do change. To exaggerate, you could hire a team that had Oprah, Tony Robbins coaching you and still have zero transformation unless you decide that you are going to be the main participant. Of course, we all have tricks up our sleeves to help you step more into that role, but a coach can only take you as far as you are willing to go. Now, what about the idea of affording a life coach? I've coached a lot of people for an hour or two that really end up saying, I would love to work with you more, but I can't afford it. The exciting but scary thing about the coaching industry is that coaches are paid in direct relation to the value that we bring clients. And because we can only level up so much at one time, the cost stays relative to our current needs. It's like a true ecosystem of supply and demand. So Rich Litvin, as a coach, is paid somewhere around $185,000 for a year of coaching, which includes probably something like 26 sessions. If you do the math, that is $7,000 per hour. You might be wondering, how in the heck can anyone be worth $7,000 per hour? The fluffy reason is because the transformations we make in life are priceless. A more pragmatic answer is that he's bringing in more than $185,000 worth of value to this client in the year. Now, let's assume that you don't have $185,000 to invest in coaching today. No judgment. I know I certainly don't. But you do have a current plateau that you could afford. I used to have clients tell me that they couldn't afford coaching, only to immediately show that they recently bought a new TV, a car, or signed up to take private kickboxing lessons. And it's safe to say that they didn't see coaching as a priority. Now, I'm super biased, but I'm confident that it would be worth far more than those three purchases combined to work together. And so you can see that there's an argument to be made about why it can be quite costly. The way that it works for any of us with any investment or purchase is to take a look at our disposable income, the money that we have each month after our needs, the actual essentials, not Netflix, our actual needs, and minimum bills are paid. How much money are you left with? How much money would you put toward coaching? Whatever that amount is, I'd be willing to bet that you can find the best value at that price point for you. And the goal should be to continue to level up each time, making an uncomfortable investment in yourself. I'll tell you one more quick story about my own investments in coaching and the point that I'm trying to level up to next. I am currently at my own coaching plateau. I'm really transparent about the fact that I've always wanted to level up the coaching that I receive. And the first person that I was coached by charged $100 an hour. I think I worked with them like 3 or 4 times. The next person was $1,000 every 3 months. And I worked with them, I feel like, for 6 months, if I recall. In any case, my next level would require around $3,000 to $5,000 per month. And it would likely be on an annual retainer. And that would equal out to somewhere between $30,000 and $60,000 per year. But when I was first starting out, I could only afford a couple hundred dollars, and it was still worth it at that point to have somebody else to learn from, somebody else to hold me accountable, because we're always learning from people that are just a little bit ahead of us on the journey. Now, if you are still struggling with the idea of why would anyone pay that much, I really think that it's time to consider the long-term exponential effects of having someone like a coach in any domain can have. You'll quickly realize that even one small improvement could result in outsized rewards. If you improve your energy, your self-care, parenting, productivity, fitness, nutrition, or get to spend more time with your family, even the tiniest amount of gains in any of those areas can have a huge impact. Now, most coaching success is tied to something that's detached from financial data. And I think this is why a lot of us struggle. But those of us who do want numbers could look at a business example. I did reasonably well in the stock market when I was younger. This is a true story. I took $10,000 and I grew it to about 15% per year over a few years. Not too bad at all. Insane returns that are not sustainable. But I'm very, very confident that even at that, had I taken the original money and invested it in myself through business coaching, I would easily have made a 100% return, if not more. And then I would have had all those beliefs, the abilities, and the skills that came with the coaching that could continue to compound forever. If I started a new business, a new podcast, another newsletter, a new YouTube channel, I could take all those skills with me and apply it to that. The eventual return would be massive. And this is why if I'm ever blessed with the opportunity to invest again, I'll be handing it right over to the best coach that I can afford at that time. And universe willing, I already know who they are. So this is my little bit about speaking it out into the universe. Now, what do you personally need? This whole thing is a choose your own adventure. You get to choose the path that you need, moreover, that you want. Do you have a therapist already? If not, would you hire one? And do you already work with a coach? If not, would you want to hire one? I'll share one last personal story that can maybe help with this. In 2022-23, I was really struggling. I often found myself in the stages of grief and anger in terms of my consciousness. No matter what, it seemed like leveling up, climbing that ladder of clarity was pretty much impossible. And the worst part was that I started getting panic attacks for the first time in years. Now, I've always appreciated what Andrew Solomon's take is on acute anxiety, as tough as it can be to talk about. When anxiety sets in, if you told me that you'd have to be depressed for the next month, I'd say, as long as I know it'll be over next month, I can do it. But if you said to me, you have to have acute anxiety for the next month, that I'd rather slit my wrists than go through it. And it was this feeling for me, again, all the time, like I was walking, tripping over a rope, and falling to the ground with the ground rushing up at you. But instead of lasting a second the way that it does, it lasted for 6 months. My therapist often says it's like walking on the outside of world's tallest tower or standing on a windowsill, not knowing how you got there. And the sensations of being afraid are like piercing, and they happen all the time. But you don't even know what you're afraid of because you're not standing on the windowsill or the edge of a bridge. Oftentimes, people who struggle from this acute anxiety begin to feel that it's too painful to be alive. And so sadly, I've been there many times. And when challenges significantly impact our day-to-day life like this, we need to seek therapy. It's the most important step in rebuilding our foundation. And so I started therapy again. As I started to feel more stable, I was able to identify some higher conscious, higher thinking goals. I have big dreams to expand the JKL brand, improve the podcast marketing, and achieve some personal wellness goals. But at the time, just getting out of bed was hard. So I started the therapy, and then once that foundation started to come back, I went back to working with business coaches again and life coaches, because those can complement therapy. We build on the insights, but propel ourselves towards the specific goals. Like, I wouldn't talk to my therapist about marketing the podcast. So how do you even find a life coach? If you've listened to this whole episode, then the good news is you're way on your way to understanding the context of all of this, why it can be helpful, and why it matters to you. And that's the most important and difficult part to understand. Once you do, there are so many people out there, literally in every domain of life, we can find someone to help us. It could be in health and wellness, mindset, relationships, setting goals for work or for fun. But either way, finding a coach won't be the difficult part. What I want to say is that you should search for someone who is just outside of your pricing comfort zone. As I mentioned, the next coach that I hire is going to be around $5,000 to $10,000 a month. That is way, way, way outside my comfort zone as we are speaking today. So for you, maybe it's $100 a week that you feel comfortable spending. Well, go and spend $150 then, or $200. Push yourself just outside that comfort zone. In terms of finding someone specific, take your time. Don't procrastinate, but take your time, especially if this is new to you, because you want to make sure that it's the right fit. We don't see change in like a week or 2 months. We want to see changes over 3 months, 6 months, a year. That's where our long-term shifts will happen. And so you want to make sure that this relationship is the best one possible at that price point. Now, a little side note, the best coaches will work with you for free at first anyways. If you're someone who thinks they can afford, if they were to sign up coaching, then I will work with you for free for an hour for sure. The idea is that you want to know what it feels like to experience a life-changing conversation with your coach. That way, you'll understand what you're signing up for, and you'll know if ongoing support is something that excites you. And I'll say, is just the right amount that scares you, because it's supposed to be a little bit scary. Every time I've started working with a coach, it made me feel that little bit of nervousness, like, is this investment worth it? I'm parting with my money to level up. Is it going to work out? And in almost every case, it has. Since coaching is a partnership, though, you're going to identify barriers, spark motivation, address your resistance. It's really important that you find that right fit. So make sure that you work with someone who's willing to coach you for free. At first, I will stand by that. If you're having trouble finding a coach, then feel free to reach out and I can try and point you in the right direction regardless of what level you're at. Speaking of reaching out, I really love when people in the JKL community ask questions, so keep them coming. Fire us DMs, replies, comments about the topics that you'd like tackled on the show. I've done so much learning about how to succeed in the creator economy, how to help you gain clarity over your goals and design the life of your dreams, that whether it's on the podcast or the newsletter, I just love sharing it. And your feedback and questions really keep that flywheel going. So I appreciate all of you. Until the next episode, all the best. And remember, just keep learning.